Man. Well, that was interesting. I tell you what, I'm going to give him a breath too. Mike is a go-getter. He really is. And I tell you the truth, I've never seen a service ever in 14 years, not a single service, where Mike didn't get everything he's got for a service. Amen. So we've been here Sunday. Yeah, amen, right? So we've been up
Hold
here.
Hold on, everybody. There's a big but in there somewhere.
But. Well, yeah, you know. But seriously, Sunday, for a couple of services, giving everything you got, and Monday, a few services, giving everything you got, and Mike's not exactly got the best of breath anyways, and so we're laughing all up here because Mike is a whole key low, but church, that's because he's given everything he's got for the last three, and he just can't quite reach it, and I am just so thankful for this man. Aren't you thankful for this man tonight? Amen. We had an excellent day today. We have some troubles with our van. If you haven't noticed, the van is that thing 20 years old yet, Vicky? Where'd Vicky go? It's a 2001. It's 17 years old. It's not a spring chicken, but you know what? I'm thankful because we got our brakes figured out on our trailer. We got to sit out there in the sunshine today. I just had a good time today hanging out around the church, you know, and that was really good. Yeah. It's sometimes nice just to have a day where you don't have to do a whole lot, and you can just kind of enjoy yourself. And then we had a good dinner. And have you caught your breath yet?
Almost.
He's almost caught his breath. Let me tell a joke. Good, Jesse can testify.
I'll tell you a joke, Mike. No, I'm just playing. That was a horrible joke.
That was probably Jesse.
Amen. Man, this thing's hot. Oh, praise the Lord.
That's because it's Matthews, you know. Dropped 100 pounds, thought he was good looking or something.
Well, you guys know who I am. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And I just want to be humble before the Lord, you know. And I was thinking about that this week and thinking about the woman who came to Jesus for a miracle. And he says, am I going to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? But she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know, I want to be somebody, even we get into a service and sometimes it's like, if God ain't just moving so greatly and it explode and we just sit there. But I'm grateful for, even if I feel just the slightest feeling of God. You know what? Let's thank God for the crumbs, amen, that fall from the master's table. And that's what I want y'all to do tonight as we begin to worship later on. Think about that. Just begin to thank him for what you do feel in this place, you know. And just dive in. Thank him. We don't have to have the greatest service ever. We just need to be grateful for what God gives us. And if it's the crumbs, praise God. I will eat the crumbs that fall from my master's table. Because you know what? Sometimes that's all we get. But you know what? Maybe if we just appreciated the crumbs, we just might get a seat at the table. Amen? Amen. So find a seat at the table tonight and just thank God for what he has done in this place. Amen?
What he's going to continue to do. I said, and what he's going to continue to do.
Oh, he's always working, Mike.
Amen. You're living proof of that. We absolutely are honored to be here. I'm going to turn my wife loose tomorrow night and let her testify a little bit. For those of you that are worried about our drummer, Varick, he is actually 22 years old. He just won't grow. He's stubborn. We feed him. Boy, do we feed him. No, we love him. I've had Varick since he was 12 years old. Matthew since he was 16. Jesse, I had him under my care when he was 12, I believe, the first time, and then when he was 18. And I'll tell you, I love all of what God has done for me. And if God hasn't blessed you the way he's blessed me, well, why not? I guarantee you this. Oh, no. Oh, is it still on? You need my help?
Baby.
to speak right in it, boy. Maybe sometimes we need to just give up a little bit of our time to shed the light of Jesus around to those who are around us. Somebody say amen. Amen. I could have easily missed Jesse the second time God brought him into my life. I could have easily missed that. It would have been easy to overlook. But the fact of the matter is, I heard a little voice inside my spirit say, hey, ask him to go to church camp. You could use a bass player anyways. And I'll never forget, I know most of y'all have heard the story, but I took him to church camp for a week, and he said, well, Mike, I got to be in court on Wednesday. Never did tell me what he did, and that's okay, because don't think I really want to know. He'd only been saved a couple weeks again at that point in time. And how many of y'all know most of us have a past? Sometimes there's things in our past we yet have to pay for, but that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't Lord and still on the throne and able to work in our behalf. Mark chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. We're going to start about the 25th verse. I've heard several words from God this week. One of the most interesting words from the Lord was, I said, God, I need 5 words to speak, and he said, I'm only going to give you 4. Sunday night proved why. I didn't get to preach Sunday night. But I'm grateful for the 4 words he gave me, and I believe that there's a right word for tonight for you. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 reads as follows. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. The King James says an issue of blood for 12 years. There was something wrong within her body that blood flowed out from her 12 years continuously. I can't imagine. I hear of young people, especially in Iowa City where I'm from, they go down to the blood bank once a week and feel wiped out. Giving that plasma, I'm going to give that plasma and get my money. I couldn't imagine every day for 12 years losing any kind of blood. Blood is life. It is where the life is stored for the body. And she was literally oozing life every day for 12 years. Can you imagine how weak this woman must have been as she sat on the roadside? I like this. And suffered many things from many physicians. And suffered many things from many. Have y'all been sick and go to the doctor and they say, well, we just don't know what's going on with you, but here, take these pills. You ever have that happen? It still happens today. And suffered many things of many physicians. That's kind of what I think about when I see that word, and suffered. And back then, it was a whole lot more primitive. They didn't have all these pills we got today. They had leeches. Ugh. Somebody said, that's gross. Like Matthew said about you last night, that's gross. Someone said, Brother Mike, are you wearing a black shirt so we can't see your sweat stains tonight? She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Grew worse. There is a place in your life when all human help fails you. And despite all of the best advice by the best doctors, there's nothing left that man can do. Hallelujah. There's some of you in here tonight, the doctors have said, we don't know what's going on in your life. There's nothing left that we can do for you. There's some of you in here tonight being given advice by your best friends. Hey, you just need to get some rest and you need peace. And they've even prayed for peace in your home, but peace won't come. Why? Because your friends can't help you out. You need more than what they have for you. Somebody say amen. Huh. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. Hallelujah. I like how it says it in the King James Version. It says she came behind him in the press. How many of y'all have ever seen any kind of celebrity in real life? And how many of y'all know you ain't getting close to said celebrity? Because there is a crowd so tight around that person that they're pressing them on all sides. Jesus wasn't a rock star by any means, but he had an answer for a whole lot of people. And because that their lives were forever changed, people just wanted to be close to Jesus. I want you to think about that. That's good stuff. But they were so close to Jesus that the people that needed to get close, worse than they did, couldn't press in. Think about that. I don't know what kind of miracle you need tonight, but there is a press coming. There is a press coming, and we're going to have to press in. Hallelujah. And she touched his garment, for she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I don't have to get his attention. He don't even have to know that I touched him. If I can just get close enough to touch his garment, that's all it takes. I just need to be close enough to be in his presence. Oh, it's no wonder we've had distraction this service. Amen? You don't preach sermons like this and the devil not get angry, because this stuff changes lives. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Hallelujah. Healed of the affliction. I like it. Jesus immediately knew that something had left. It says right here in verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? Who touched me? I could stop and preach there, but I'm going to read the rest of my text. But his disciples said unto him, you see this multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He looked around, and there she was. My brother, my sister, when you've been touched by the Master, I said, when you've been touched by the Master, there is something that changes on your face and on your countenance, that there is no question that you've been in the presence of God. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell down before him, told him the whole truth, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. And be healed of your affliction. Can we bow our heads this evening? Father God, thank you for your word, for it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Will you anoint me to preach your word simple, straight, and true? Anoint your congregation that we may hear it and that we may put it into action in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, and the church said. I said, and the church said. I said, and the church said, amen. Did I sing you to sleep tonight? There are people under the sound of my voice tonight, and I have no doubt within my spirit that this is true, that you have heard from your friends, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. And for all of their advice, you're nothing better off. It's because the one friend that loves you the most will tell you, you need to touch Jesus.
You need to get a hold of the spot where the glory comes out, and you need to bring your altars and leave them at the feet of Jesus. Your altars? Yes, your altars. Those things you build up higher than God. Your mountain's no obstacle, but for you, you build it up so high that God can't get through it. It's not that He can't, it's that you can't let Him. You can't see Him from where you're standing. And my brother, my sister, know this. God has peace for your household. That's no question at all. God has peace for your household. God has peace for your mind. And He's here to show up and show out and give you the peace and the rest that you need. Brother Mike, you don't know my situation. I know plenty. I know that I was 4 years old. I was 18 months old in my mother's arms holding her twin boys. And her little redheaded one's body went just tight from head to toe and then limp and breath left. If you've ever heard of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, that's what I was diagnosed with. But my dad, 2 weeks earlier, had just taken a CPR class where they taught him how to perform CPR on babies. To this day, my sternum still broke because my dad, crying out on the name of the Lord, said, I can't lose my boy, and performed CPR and brought me back. 4 years old, double pneumonia in both lungs. I, too, have a blood disease, a blood disorder. And what I was allergic to the most, aspirin and penicillin, they were putting right in my IV so that I could get plenty of it. And I was dying in a coma. The phlebotomist, that's the guy that takes blood and gives blood, said to my mom, we're going to give him a unit of blood, but it's not going to be enough to bring this kid out of the danger that he's in. And they did. They gave me a blood transfusion. At the end of that blood transfusion, friends, I set up and all of my blood counts were normal. Why? Because Jesus had walked up in the room. What man said was impossible, God said, He's got a better way. The words from the doctors to my family was call the funeral taker and the funeral home and the pastor because this boy won't live to see daybreak. I'm still here. 12 years old. Double pneumonia in both lungs. Pastor found out why I get pneumonia. I was out running around in shorts yesterday. Double pneumonia in both lungs. My left lung was completely collapsed. They said, we don't think we'll ever be able to reinflate it. Friends, if you've ever had a collapsed lung and they've worked to reinflate it, you know that they beat the fire out of you. All that pain. But I got two lungs today that work perfectly fine. Hallelujah. 22 years old, pneumonia. All your stories involve pneumonia? No, hold on. We also get to heart attacks here in a minute. 22 years old, pneumonia, driving down the highway to get to a doctor to get some antibiotics so I could get better, passed out at the wheel and hit a van head on. When I finally made it half an hour later to the emergency room, my temperature was 107 degrees. You're looking at somebody that shouldn't be here tonight, but God had a different plan. 31 years old. Massive heart attack. If we would have left the 30 minutes earlier to come home, we would have been caught in the worst blizzard of that year. 13 inches of snow in 4 hours. I would not be here tonight. I know the devil's tried to kill me time and time and time again. Why? Because if just one of you walks away from this revival, refreshed, renewed, restored, or whole, my brother, my sister, all of the last 42 years will not have been in vain. God gave you me for this point in your life. 27 times I've had pneumonia. Went to my pulmonologist. That's a lung doctor. I've got a list of doctors, friends. My wife says, if we can just keep you well. I'm like, yes. I hate going to the hospital. They poked me. Last time they tried to get one IV, poked me 12 different times. I hate needles. If you were me, you wouldn't have a choice. Pulmonologist said, Mike, I'm going to be real with you. You only have 80% lung capacity. I said, you ought to hear me sing. That's what I said. I said, you ought to hear me sing, Doc. You'd never know it. He said, I can't explain how you're even able to walk with the scar tissue that's in your lungs. I can't explain how you're not on oxygen with the scar tissue that's in your lungs. So when I huff and puff like last night or tonight, and I got to catch my breath, it's just because I got my lungs flared up, and it's no big deal. I'm going to give God the glory. And hopefully he'll honor us with our praise and worship and come in and touch us like he did tonight. There was an old couple in our church. Brother Boyd has done gone on to be with the Lord, but Sister Boyd and Brother Boyd used to sing, and they couldn't sing, but they gave their all to the Lord. And she'd stand up there, and she'd be the first to tell you, I can't sing, and she couldn't. She could sing off key real well, but she gave her all to God. And she'd say, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch one spot of his clothes, I know I'll be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I can but touch him, I know I'll be whole. You ever heard that? I'm going to sing it one more time. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch one spot of his clothes, I know I'll be healed, my sins all forgiven. Hallelujah. If I can but touch him, I'll know I'll be whole. And you see, the problem with us today as children of God is, God, we're not worthy. But if you've ever accepted him as Lord and Savior of his life, it's not your worthiness that makes you worthy. It's the fact that Jesus cared enough about each and every one of us to spread himself on a cross and die and take the punishment for every wrong thing we've ever done to the grave forever. And his ability to love us makes us worthy. Who am I, Brother Mike? You ain't nobody. Get over yourself. But you're his child. Outside of being his child, I'm nothing. Just an orange suit wearing leprechaun here in March. Outside of being a child of God, there's nothing of merit about my life. I can't earn the anointing. Did you hear me? I can't earn the anointing. I can live as good and as godly as I want. And if God chooses to favor me with his anointing, that's all on him. It's all on him. All I can be is obedient. And so you sit there and you doubt, well, he's just talking to everybody else. No, no, no. If you've ever said that once while I'm speaking tonight, I am talking to you. Nobody but you. You are important tonight because you are here to hear these words. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, if I can but touch one spot on his clothes, I know I'll be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I can but touch him, I know I'll be whole. Come on, team.